Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Okay. I'll try to incorporate that in here sooner or later. We'll see if my brain works in that function. But anyway, I was going to be talking about kings and priests to some degree, and this is a really wide topic, although you only find the phrase kings and priests twice in the Bible. But you do find lots of reference to kings and priests. But the particular reference that we kind of jumped off on was this Revelations 1:6 that says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, that's just one little line, but it brings in all kinds of concepts. You have the concept of God, the concept of Father, the concept of dominion, and even this word glory. What are we talking about there in when we say into glory? What word are we dealing with in the original Greek text? And, you know, all these things are part of understanding just a single phrase, and most people don't know the meaning of these words. They don't know them even in a regular English, but they are translated from the Greek, so you want to know what they're talking about. The word glory is translated glory a lot of times in the Bible, but it's also translated glorious, so that's not a big stretch. But it's also translated honor, it's also translated praise, translated dignity, and even translated worship. It's defined as opinion, judgment, or view. So that's kind of an unusual approach to the word glory, that it means, in the Greek, defined as opinion, judgment, and view. And most people, if you ask them to give us a definition of the word glory, you would not come up with that definition. It comes from a word that actually means to think, and it has to do with your opinion. So when they're talking about the Father, to him be the glory, our thoughts, our opinions, and then it says, and dominion. So what is the dominion? Again, that dominion, it's translated power a lot of times. It's also translated strength and mighty in conjunction with other words, but it is defined as force and strength. So it's kind of like saying all power and authority of judgment given to our Father who art in heaven. Now, we've already talked many times about the fact that when Jesus said, call no man on earth Father, but my Father on earth, and I've seen a lot of people try to pick on the Catholic Church, and I don't mind that, but because their priests are often called Father. And they said, well, they're going against the Bible itself. But at that time, there were no Catholic priests that you called Father. So that couldn't be what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was saying, call the man Father, who was at that time considered the fathers of the earth. Who would you be addressing as the fathers of the earth? He's not talking about your dad and your mom. Because of the Ten Commandments, which he said you had to obey in order to have eternal life, that eternal source of energy, you were to honor your father and your mother so that your days would be long upon the land. So he doesn't have any problem with you honoring your natural father and mother. He's talking about the fathers of the earth. And of course, we define and very clearly using references that are available to everybody, that the word father at that time in the Greek text was actually the Latin word for patri, which meant father, and was the common address used for senators throughout Rome. There was even some reference to the Sanhedrin, that some of the Sanhedrin men were also called father because the government of Judea was following in the footsteps of Rome. it was becoming what they call Hellenized. Excuse me. So anyway, what if he's saying call no man on earth father, he would be saying like today, call no man on earth senator or congressman. To call no man emperor, because the emperor was also called father, our father who art in Rome. But he's saying don't pray to our father who art in Rome, the Patronus, that was what they called the emperor, the Patronus, our father. He says pray to our father who art in heaven. Now why did he say that? Because he knew, like Paul knew, like David knew, that what should have been for your welfare offered by these men who could exercise authority would be a snare. They would trap you. And they would get all your energy because they would take the first fruits of your labor and they would take your sons and daughters and they would make their instruments of war and they would make them run before their chariots and they would serve their purposes and not the purposes of God in heaven. They would actually even claim to be gods. And of course, we've also talked about the fact that the President of the United States is a god by definition of the word, as you find both in the Greek text and the Hebrew text. That now people say, oh, that's ridiculous. That can't be so. It, even on the U.S. government website, it praises and it says that Washington was raised to the rank of God when he became President of the United States because he had the power to choose all the lesser gods. Because it actually says, quote unquote, that raises Washington to the rank of God, that they're referring to the painting in the Capitol Dome, which is called the Apotheos of Washington, which of course is the title that was given to Augustus Caesar when he was called a god, the Apotheos, appointer of gods. His job as the appointer of gods was to appoint all the judges throughout the empire, the imperial judges. The President of the United States appoints the federal judges throughout the United States. Same exact role, same exact job. That's what he would do as emperor. Actually, the word emperor means commander in chief and is defined as such in just standard Latin dictionaries. I don't have to go get this out of dusty old books in the Vatican. You can just go to Collins Latin Dictionary and imperator is defined as commander in chief because that's what his job was. His job as God was to appoint judges who were also called gods. If you go right in the Strong's Concordance, you don't have to go anywhere else, just in the Strong's Concordance, which is used by almost everybody who uses the King James Bible uses the Strong's Concordance, and they will tell you that the word that they translate into God in both Old and New Testaments was used every day to address magistrates, judges in courts. If you don't understand that, you won't understand the biblical text. But in this Revelations 5:10, they're saying that he has made us kings and priests. Now, priests, what are priests? In the article we have coming out in News Views, we show you clearly that the word priest means one who controls the giving of sacrifices. Sacrifices for what? When you pay your taxes, that's sacrifice. You're giving up some of your energy so that somebody else can use it. You do it in the form of money or some things. In the old days, they would use money as well, but they would also use goods that they produced. And then they might turn it into money and buy different goods, but if a shepherd would bring sheep, a gold miner would bring gold, orchard tender would bring olive oil or olives, and they would bring that and they would give that as their sacrifice. And the priests would take those sacrifices, they wouldn't burn them up, they would actually use them for the needy of their society and to sustain them in a very important job in society. They were the singers and heralds of society. What does that mean? They would keep everybody in communication. In those days, there was no internet, so if you wanted the answer to a question, you didn't Google it, you Levi'd it. You went to the Levi and you say, hey, I got something eating the leaves on my olive plants. How can I get rid of that? And he would check with all the other Levites throughout the country through this network, and they would come back with an answer. And they would say, oh, so-and-so found that if you do this, you can get rid of them. And we do that already in our network. issues on health, issues on the health of animals, issues on, we've had snake bite cases, we've had all kinds of things that came up, and we tapped into the network and people came back with real solutions. Saved us a lot of energy. We tapped into an actual living network of people who cared and took the time to come up with solutions for us. Those men were priests who took the time to do that, because other people took the time to sacrifice their time. You see, when he says, you're all kings and priests, he was making, has made us kings and priests. He gave us individually the responsibility of government. That is what Christ was doing. He was setting us free. And if I can pull up here, I was going to pull up some other definitions, and I'm going to have to use this a little bit better. Oh, there it is. Okay. What's happened is that the ones who are in charge of your sacrifice is government today. Those people who take your sacrifice and use it to redistribute your wealth to other people, your energy to other people, those are your priests. They are doing the role of the priests. The old Levites, they did the role of the priests, but what were they doing? They were serving the tents of the congregation. That's what they did. They served the tents of the congregation. How did they serve him? Well, they took their sacrifices that they chose to give their minister and made sure that the people who needed help got sufficient help. If they needed more, they told the people, and the people gave them more or decided not to give them more. Your system, your priests exercise authority. They have men with, they don't use swords anymore. They use guns to make sure that you give to them, and then they go and give to others, and then of course now they can eat of that offering to sustain them in their effort. And unfortunately, I just heard that Congress gave itself a raise as we approach the fiscal cliff, and nobody wants to cut the budget. They're getting a raise because they're your priests who exercise authority one over the other, and that means mostly over you. And this is the system of government that you have created. And that's what a lot of people don't realize when they read the Bible. It is about government from the beginning to the end. And that's why if you go read Black's Law Dictionary, they define the Bible as one form of government. It's for a body or community of Christians. But the Christians don't use the church as their government. They go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. That's why America is no longer the home of the brave and the land of the free, but the home of the slave and the land of the afraid. And your energy is not your energy anymore. Your life is not yours. Because you coveted your neighbor's goods, you have been made human resources, merchandise. And your priests and kings, you're not the king. When we look up the word king, it actually comes from the word foot. Because the king, they also talk about foot altars. And the king, what was the purpose of the king in the old days when they elected Saul? He was to make sure that everybody was organized. He could exercise authority. He could fight their battles for them. He was the commander in chief. But when they elected him, God called that a rejection of him, because God doesn't want you to elect a single leader or a single ruler or someone who can exercise authority. He wants you to exercise the rights that he gave you and be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Now, he lets you start governments where your leaders can take away your energy and your life, and they can force you to pay into their treasury, and they can take your sons and daughters. But he lets you do that, but he calls that the government of the wicked. He says, they're for punishing the wicked. That kind of government is for punishing the wicked. And who are the wicked? They're the ones who have rejected God and created that government. So the people who go around and say, we're all kings and priests and we don't need ministers anymore, they are neither kings nor priests. They are slaves, and they are subject to priests who exercise authority. People say there's no hierarchy in the church. Well, yes, there's a hierarchy in the church. Did you know that the word for priest in the Greek is the word hieros? It is the word that you put on the front of the word archy to create the word hierarchy. So who is the hierarchy in the kingdom of God? It's the people in congregation, because they have the power to decide what energy they're going to give up and what energy they're going to keep and how they're going to give that energy. They decide, because they're the hierarchy. And the ministers are merely servants of the hierarchy, which is the people. That's the government God was explaining. And it's explained in great detail in the Bible. But what they've done is they've created these ministers who have crept in with damnable heresies and got you thinking that the Bible is not about government, even though, I mean, it talks about the first city-state. It talks about Cain and Lamech creating cities. It talks about Nimrod creating big Babylonic cities. It talks about pharaohs moving the people to cities. It talks about people electing a king and the king moving them to cities also. And I've explained how that works. You can actually see it in the text. When they want a king, he says he's going to think about it, go back to your tents. When you finally come back and say you want a king anyway, even though he tells you that he's going to take and take and take and take and take, and you still say you want a king in Samuel 8, he says, go back to your cities. Later on, when they decide they want their freedom from their government, they want to opt out, so to speak, they go and they ask Rehoboam, will you let us go? And he says, well, let me think about it. Go back to your cities. And they go back, and then he comes and he says, my father whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. And so, in other words, I'm not going to let you free. You're still going to be my subjects. I'm still going to be your king. I can still exercise authority over all of you because you asked me to exercise authority over your neighbor to guarantee your social security and safety. So he wasn't going to let him free. And so they said, what is David to us? You know, that throne to us. And they went back to their tents. They're telling you in the Bible that there's a distinction with being under a civil authority and being the individual civil authority in a society that comes together and operates by the perfect law of liberty. In the country you live in, I don't care if it's Canada, Australia, China, United States, South American countries, whatever, you are not at liberty. You are not free in those nations. You are subject. Now, actually, there are some people in some of these nations that are free, and they haven't taken the mark of the beast in those countries. Almost every country has a mark of the beast. They have a number that they give you to say that you are one of ours and you have to contribute. If they can tell you how much you can contribute, and that you have to contribute, and you have to give up your energy and labor for them for free, if they can tell you that, you're not a king, and you're not a high priest. You're a subject, and you're a slave. And your energy belongs to them. Now, how much energy does it take to produce a son and to raise him up to manhood? And when he gets to be 18, they can take him away. They actually have bills that have come in front of Congress, and they will have them again. And we've had the existing president of the United States talk about doing this. Universal service. Your daughters can be drafted. Your sons can be drafted, not just for the military, but for civilian employee. You can't become a citizen of the United States unless you take an oath that says that you will work at civilian work projects without pay. It says that in the statutes. that you will work on demand at civilian work projects without pay. And every one of you probably out there do that right now. For the first 2 hours of every day, sometimes 3 hours, 4 hours of every workday, you're working for them without pay, because you will not be paid for what you do. You're in a Corby system of statutory labor, and you're in that because you applied for their Corbin and your parents applied for their Corbin, and your energy is not yours. Your life is not yours. Now, you want it back? You want that energy to come back to you? You want to tap into an inexhaustible source of energy and power? Jesus told you how to do that. You can't be selfish and tap into that power. It just does not work. It's like you got the wrong pattern on your plug-in. It does not fit. You have to be like Christ to plug in to the energy that is Christ. And he told you how to do it. And he said it right in the text, in his doctrines, in what he was teaching you. But your ministers are not explaining that to you. How to touch into that inexhaustible source of energy. How can you do that? You have to be like Christ. So what was he like? He came to serve, not be served. So when you gather together with other people, do you gather together with other people to serve? If you're going to be a high king and priest, you have to be a servant of the people. You have to be there caring about your neighbor's rights as much as you care about your own. That's what you have to do. That's part of your job description as king and high priest. And by the way, if you're in any country where the people can draft your labor, the leaders can draft your labor for them, whether it be for military or other uses. In other words, they can simply take away a portion of your labor. Whoever instituted that in your country sinned against God, and you could not be held liable and under that authority unless you sinned against God or your parents did, probably both. And you can read that in 2 Samuel 24:10. And David, as a leader, repented and realized that he had numbered the people for the purposes of using their services, taking them for his purposes. And he repented of it. His son did not repent of it. His son insisted upon you and made war. He did. He broke every rule in the book. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 17, 16, they tell you what rules the king was to live by. And he didn't do it. Solomon didn't do it. He broke all those rules over and over again. And that's why his son, Rehoboam, could say, "My father whipped you with the whips." That's not the authority that the king was to get. But then again, God told you that he would have that do that if you did that. You see, when John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God, he said that if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, you were to share. But by your choice, which neighbor should you give that coat to, that extra coat? Because there may be three neighbors without coat and you only have one. So you get to decide who you will share with and how much you will share with. And that's the kingdom of God. Any other system of government is the antithesis of the kingdom of God. And they talk about that in Matthew 11:12 when John the Baptist says, until John the Baptist, everybody established their governments, their kingdom, by force. I mean, once you signed up, they could force you to contribute according to what they decide, because they're your king and you're not. But Christ gave you back the right to be king. If you would enter into his government. You do not enter into his government by just thinking nice thoughts, being positive to God, thinking positive thoughts to God, blessed thoughts to God. You actually have to be a doer of the word. Not just for those that it's comfortable for you to do for, but those uncomfortable. When the Good Samaritan saw the guy beat up on the side of the road, it was probably difficult for him to stop. You know, bandage the guy, lift him up and get him on his donkey. He has to walk. He can't ride the donkey with this guy on it. He takes him. He takes money out of his pocket and provides for him to be taken care of in a place. We want to start that in our own network, and we are already starting the process of doing that. There's a system called Good Samaritan for medical insurance. It's kind of not insurance. It's actually what they call medical assurance, but it is receiving an exemption from the new health bill. Well, every church should be doing this. And if you were really kings and priests, you could do it, because you would gather together. Now, do you want to pay for some drug addict's health bills that might skyrocket into the hundreds of thousands? Because, you know, I've actually known guys who were being treated for cancer and parking their $100,000 motorhome outside the hospital so he could go out and smoke during treatments. He didn't want to stop smoking, but he wanted the cancer to go away. Really, I don't want to spend, you know, $100,000, $150,000 of my money on a guy who won't even quit smoking, and he's got cancer already. I'm sorry, I just don't want to pay for that. That guy is on his own. And that's what you could do if you form this mutual assurance through congregations of record, where the people came together and actually wanted that. They would have ample funds very easily to take care of all your medical needs. Not only that, what you don't have in your medical society, and we're at a break here, I'll tell you that when we get back, what you don't have in your present medical society that you would have as an asset if you were to come together in congregations of record and begin to form a mutual assurance network that would take care of your medical needs. And we'll talk about that when we get back to Keys to the Kingdom.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about kings and priests. We were talking about what you would have in a medical society, or what you would obtain that you're not obtaining now in the present medical institutions that you depend on. And what that would be is that you would have people that are coming together with no payment, voluntarily choosing to come together to help one another out. The medical society that you now depend on, and I use the word society there for a reason, is not motivated, for the most part, out of compassion and love. It is heavily motivated out of profit, love of money, love of wealth. And even if your doctor's a nice guy, he is heavily influenced by the pharmaceutical industry that is behind that. And we can show very easily that there's a great deal of medical practices today that are bad for you. I mean, the AMA is even catching many of these people, and they're still doing it because it's good for business. It's not good for you, but it's good for business. So you want something that is in place that is interested in your health, that's not for profit. It's not for gain. It is only those people who will spend their energy and life as a service to others. And again, this is going back to that character of Christ. His life was about service. I came to serve, not to be served. Which is better, to sit at meat or to serve? He's telling you. If you don't come with that spirit, you can't plug into that energy that Christ had that actually could heal people at a touch. And the other thing that will take place here is that to be a part of a mutual assurance program that is not an insurance program requires faith and hope. And when now, so that's the other, you know, if you have a three-prong plug, one prong is service, the other is hope, and the other is giving. And you won't be giving unless you're forgiving, because forgiving and giving are actually related to each other. So you need those characteristics to plug into God's system of life. God is in the business of creating life and giving life. That is the character of God. Whatever you want to think that he looks like. I saw an interesting video. I can't remember the guy. He's Lord something or other, but it's why I homeschool. And he's actually a Lord over there in England, I guess. But he homeschools his kids. And he was talking about how bad the drugs are. Ritalin and things like this, that and Prozac and Luxar and all these drugs that they put kids on. And he was talking about a small girl who was never paid attention in school. And all of a sudden they were having drawing class and she was intent in that class and she was really working on a drawing and the teacher went up to her and asked her what she was drawing. And she said she was drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, well, that's ridiculous. Nobody knows what God looks like. And the little girl answered, they will in a minute. Because she was going to draw him a picture of him. It's the innocence of a child just looks at these things so simplistic. And that's one of the reasons why Christ said, you have to be like one of these, like a child. You have to look at things anew. We have so many ideas that we've already accepted as true, and we have invested our own pride and vanity in these ideas. And then somebody like me from the high deserts of Oregon comes along and says, everything they told you, it's a lie. They have deceived you, and you are actually headed for death instead of life because you're not doing what Christ said. You're actually doing the opposite. So now if you're going to do what Christ said, you have to stop praying to men who exercise authority one over the other, because he said it wasn't to be that way with you. So you can't be looking to the government for benefits. You have to make your yeses yes and your noes no. So if you have made a contract with them, you may have to pay them, even though you can't ask them to take care of you. You say, well, they owe it to me. I paid in. I said, well, you have to forgive that debt, because they're not good. All the money you paid in has already gone out to other people to take care of the needy back then, all the drug addicts and all the lazy people and all the selfish people on welfare who could have worked but, you know, conned their way into the system. You've already paid them. That money's gone. Now, if you want to get any money from the system, you have to send men out with guns who exercise authority and force your neighbors to pay for you. If you don't forgive that and say, okay, I'm going to start over from scratch, then God's not going to start over from scratch with you, and you will not be forgiven. Unless you forgive, neither will you be forgiven. So, boy, that's a bummer, but that's the way it is. You want life, eternal life. You want an inexhaustible source of energy. You want to really be a giver of life, you have to do it the way Christ says. So he's laid out a system of self-government where you gather together, loving your neighbor as yourself, actually actively, positively working in that direction to take care of your neighbors, remembering things like Thessalonians, you don't work, you don't eat. You don't do the will of God and take care of each other. Then they don't have to take care of you. It's still, remember, you're the priests and kings. You're the hierarchy. So one system operates this way. One system is funded by charity, and the other is funded by force. Which one do you choose? One was a result of choice, and the other one is a result of forfeiture. You have to pay in. The other one you chose to pay in. So these are the dividing lines between God's government and the anti-God government that most of you belong to. And I mean belong to because you're merchandise. One was supported by a tithe. You chose who you were going to tithe. You tithe to them according to their service. You pick the minister you think is actually taking care of the needs of your society. Now, he may have to also help people outside of your society, but he has to first take care of the needs of your society. And the other one was supported not by a tithe, but by a tax. You see, taxes are tithes, and tithes are taxes. One is voluntary, one is not voluntary. One was from a free people of virtue. The other one was from subjects of vice. What vice? You coveted your neighbor's goods, and you have been made merchandise. You have desired benefits at the expense of your neighbor, even your rich neighbors. You said, well, he can afford it. Yeah, but you coveted it just the same. And therefore, you shall be merchandise. The slothful in the ways of God should be under tribute. And that's where you are. And that's where you will stay. And no matter how much energy you get, somebody will be there to take it away. Unless you become like Christ. Start operating like Christ and being a doer of his word, as he said. Now, you could operate like Moses if you want to be a Jew and you don't want to follow Christ. You could follow Moses, and in essence, you would be following Christ, because Moses and Christ were in agreement. Christ just did it better, and Moses agreed. Now, you have to remember that one of these systems is based on a covenant with God, but you have to be able to plug into God's covenant by acting according to Christ's way and Moses' way, because they're the same. Now, a lot of people are going to balk at that. They're going to say, well, no, the Old Testament was this way, and the New Testament is this way, and they're separate. Well, why was Jesus always quoting the Old Testament? Your view of the Old Testament is the result of listening to the Pharisees who got it wrong. The fact is, the Old Testament was telling you exactly what Christ was telling you, which is why Christ was constantly quoting the Old Testament. He took it a step farther. And now you have to decide which way you're going to walk. Because the way you've been going is not running to life, but running to death. It's the way of the common purse. Now, if you go the way of the righteousness of God, that's what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you go that way, you will be able to plug into that inexhaustible source of energy. I'm a pretty old guy. I go to bed after midnight and I'm up before 5. How do I do that? People can't figure that out. I go out into work with 30-year-old guys and they're looking for, we got to go back. It's getting dark and we haven't been in all day. How do I do that? We've seen instantaneous, miraculous healings. It's not us. We're just walking in the ways of Christ. If you would walk in the ways of Christ, you would experience these things too. It's not a guarantee though. Now back to that insurance program or assurance program. That's one of the things the Good Samaritan program is very close to the kingdom. I don't advise you to join it. I advise you to gather together in congregations of record and become the mutual assurance that early Christians were in their church. Because their church was his church. They were still doing what Christ said. Modern churches don't do that. They actually send you to the men who call themselves benefactors, which is why you're back in the bondage of Egypt, and none of your energy belongs to you. They can take 20, 30, 40, 50% of your energy every year in the form of taxes. They can take your sons and daughters. How much energy did it take to get a child, like I say, from conception to 18 years old? They can come and take them. Because you've gone to the wrong kings. You're not kings and priests, but you can be. But you have to repent. You have to take on that job. And that job is the job of the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. The democracy you now see in the republic that used to be America, and that's what it is. It has a creed. Did you know that the United States government has a creed? Well, of course it does. It has priests. You call them administrators. Administrators, what is that? That's ad ministers. Those are your ad ministers. They've added something, power. They have force. They are your high priests. The head of Social Security is a high priest. The head of the Department of Transportation, he's a high priest. The head of the IRS, he's a high priest. And if your church applies to the IRS for a recognition letter, he's your bishop. All the temples of Rome were government buildings. That wasn't that way originally, but it became that way. It's where they registered births. It's where they registered deaths. It's where they kept contracts. And, you know, like if you own land, deeds, they registered them in the temples because those were the government buildings. The Temple of Herod was a government building. All the synagogues were government buildings. You don't know that because most of what you know comes from people who have delivered you back into the bondage. All you have to do is turn around, gather together. And that's what we do at hisholychurch.org is that we're giving you a chance to come together and actually follow the ways of Christ in a positive way, in a real way where you actually become doers of the word. But it's up to you to do that. And, you know, we don't have a large network. We're all over the place. We're in other countries. But I really don't consider people a part of the Living Network unless they start getting involved. And we're not out here offering these books for free and the videos for free and the audios for free and all the articles that we write for free. We're not out here doing this for your entertainment. We're doing this as a service to God. But you can't plug into that energy and that grace and that power unless you turn around and start doing things the way Christ said to do them, the way Moses said to do them. And that goes for you Jews too, and that goes for you Muslims too, and that goes for the Hindus and the Buddhists too, because all these guys can trace their religion back to Abraham. And that's what Abraham was doing too. Created a network of people that one city-state after another fell and collapsed. But his people and his network could save the day in one night. How did they do that? Well, that's what we tell you in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, which you can read free on the net. Download it, print it out on your own printer. You can order it from us, but we don't require that. If you want to read it first, go ahead, read it. We operate by faith, by hope, by charity. We're not selling you the secrets of life. We're giving them to you. But if you want to have life more abundant, you have to give up your life for Christ's sake, in his way, not foolishly giving it up here and there. I mean, every soldier that was killed in Afghanistan that was sent there by the Soviet Union, they gave up their life. But not for Christ's sake, for their gods of the Soviet Union. And the same for anybody else who's gone to Afghanistan and died there. They gave their life for their leaders. Unfortunately, some of them were probably giving up their life for their buddies. But they and their buddies wouldn't be there except for the fact that their parents were not kings and priests. Their parents did not even own their own children. They'd given up the ownership of their children. They'd given it up to the fathers of the earth. But Jesus told you to call no man on earth father, but you did it anyway. Who's your daddy? You don't live by faith, hope, and charity. You don't live by the perfect law of liberty. You're in bondage. Now, you have that choice. You could go to one of these two systems. Yeah, and I was showing you the distinction. One is based on a covenant with God, and the other one was based on contracts with men. The men who think they are gods. There are men who say they are gods but are no gods. Well, that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about these guys who exercise and rule and have authority over you. And you gave them authority over you because you asked them to exercise authority over your neighbor. And so, through covetousness, you are made merchandise. I keep going back to that, but people haven't let that really sink in. The only way to escape that is to forgive the debt of the society that you're in and start becoming that society of Christ. If you don't gather together, not just in your little local clique friends, but gather together as a nation under God, which means you not only care about the people that you gather with, but the people that your minister gathers with. And then his minister gathers with, because that's how you become a nation. And that's what he didn't preach a congregation of God. He preached a kingdom of God. One of those systems in the world today is of the world. One of them is just in the world. One was about being willing to obey your Father who art in heaven. And the other one was about having to obey your Father on earth, which now you know who those are. One requires that you care about your neighbor's rights and family and goods as much as your own. The other one does not require any love of anyone, but only compliance and allegiance. And it actually allows you to covet your neighbor's goods. If you want a bigger school, you can. All 51% of you can force your neighbors to get a bigger school for your kids. If you want health care, 51% of you can vote and force your neighbors to provide you with health care. In that system, in the system where you're kings and priests, you can't do that. You have to live by hope. You have to build honor and trust. Now you tell me, after living that way for a while, in a system of good Samaritans, of people who love one another and who care for one another and help one another, say a great calamity came to the earth. Whole earth, starvation, evil in untold amounts, overwhelmed the governments of the world like they were during some of these hurricanes. Which group do you think would sustain itself through that time? The group that coveted its neighbor's goods, who looked to men who exercised authority, who didn't mind taking away from their neighbor as long as they were safe? Or the ones who were willing to sacrifice one for another, who came together bound by love alone? Which one do you think would have a chance to survive and be saved? Just that mechanical reality alone would give you a better chance with those people who love one another. But something else takes place. You are able to plug into God's Holy Spirit, to that inexhaustible source of energy that Christ walked around with, that Christ overflowed with, so that somebody who had been sick for years, going to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor till she was absolutely broke, went and found him and thought, if I just touched the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And she touched him and he felt the virtue go out of him and healed her. I've seen that happen. That's real. But it required submission, not to a man, but to God. It required that you honor God's way. When you do that, you will have the energy you need. And you will have an abundance that you can share with others. When they gave talents, one talent, two talents, three talents, the one who did nothing lost the talent he had. And the ones that did well with what they were given more. That process continues every day as you walk towards the kingdom. He gives you knowledge. You share it, he gives you more knowledge. He gives you wisdom. You use it to help others wisely. He gives you more knowledge, more wisdom. If you take your energy, your money, which represents your energy, and you give it wisely according to that good knowledge that he gave you, and he will give you more. That's the way it works. And the reason we are bankrupt in this society is we have forgotten that. We need to turn around and go back the other way. Moses was trying to tell us. Abraham was trying to tell us. Christ was telling us and even showing us about giving up your life so that you can have life more abundant. In 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 and 5, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, honor, remember that word, glory, and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Peter actually healed people with a shadow, just coming near people. You should be doing that. But you haven't been walking in the ways that Peter walked. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is of the world through lust, through greed, through wantonness, through the desire for those benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Well, I'm sharing knowledge with you, but the knowledge is spit and mud. It is dust and spit that makes this mud that I put upon your eyes, that the scales will be removed. But if you begin to see the truth of this, you must act upon that truth. Because if you do not, the sight will be taken away from you, and you will not see, and you will go back into the darkness, and the world will lead you astray again. You must act upon that knowledge, that understanding, and then God will give you life more abundant. You must spend your time as if you were spending money. You know, we're not asking for your money. We don't want you to give to us at all. I mean, I don't mind if you do, but that's not the point. We want you to give where God is leading you to give. We want you to give up your life so that you can have life more abundant. That is the key. If you don't have that current flow from you to others as God gave from himself to you, he cannot give you more. You are at a disconnect. It's not enough that you plug into Christ. You have to give the energy that you have received to others. That's the way it works with an electrical cord. If you plug in the electrical cord, you have to have a complete circuit. It has to go out. You have to cast your bread upon the waters, or it won't come back to you. You have to give that energy out, or it won't come back to you. But the more you give, the more capacity you will have to give. And you will be tapping. You have tremendous capacity. What do you think the other 90% of your brain that you don't use is for? You are a capacitor. A walking, living capacitor. A storehouse of energy. But you walk around drained all the time. What is draining you? I tell you, evil cannot drain energy from a pure-hearted man, because with that energy comes the light of Christ. But we've reached the end of another show. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.